What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Fit, Healthy, and Most of All Happy podcast. I'm your coach and host, Josh, here with
his co-host and co-coach, KG.
Coming at you in the house, fired up, coffee on site. It is Motivation Monday, so if you're listening to this on Monday, you got that week ahead of you, you know, you just got to go at it like you would a bulldozer kind of getting through something. It's breaking down. You just got to go at it with that enthusiasm. You know, to me, Monday is always that fresh reset. You know, Monday is, I don't care what happened over the weekend. I don't care what happened last week. It's how can you respond now in this moment? And what I love Monday. I think Monday actually is my favorite day of the week. People look at me like I'm a lunatic when I say that. But to me, it's just that fresh start. And I like starting Monday so strong because then you carry momentum into Tuesday. Then you get to hump day. And before you know it, you're back through another week. So just a good reminder for that. So as always, we're going to kick this bad boy off with some quotes. I have a quote I really like. I'm not going to elaborate on it much. I'm just going to leave it and let you think on it today. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I know normally usually I explain why I put it, but I just thought this one was a ton of fun, so I just want to go ahead and get this going. So my quote for this week is from Kate Morden, and it is, "You make a life out of what you have, not what you're missing."
Jeez.
So I'm just going to leave it there. Just spend some time thinking about that. It's in the show notes. You can ruminate on that. You know, I just like, ooh, this is a good one.
Man, that's honestly so true. Kind of relates to my gratitude thing last week, and just even like, you know, a lot of people have FOMO, fear of missing out, but you know, there's just so much great happening. So I'm not going to expand on yours and, you know, let everyone think as well there. And that brings me into my quote, which is just, mindset is what separates the best from the rest. And I just, you know, really love this one, especially because, you know, I always talk about mindset and, you know, just if there's one thing that I feel like a lot of people can improve upon and just, you know, that's really going to make a big difference, right? You know, I'm kind of looking for the thing that's going to make, you know, not like a 3% difference, not a 5%, you know, in your fitness journey, which is, you know, that still could be substantial for a lot of people, but the thing that will give you like 70%, 80%, and that's going to be the mindset. So, you know, once again, just having that, you know, positive kind of attitude towards yourself, you know, having just that, you know, belief in yourself, like so many different things. So as I'm constantly learning, that's the one thing that I feel like, you know, just a lot of people, if you're going to like read the personal growth book, is just like really fixing that mindset and, you know, just all that good stuff, I think will make a big difference for a lot of people.
100%, 110% actually. Like, mindset is the thing that connects all those dots, right? In my opinion. And, you know, having a strong mindset is something that you shouldn't just expect to have. You know, I know a lot of people are like, I'm not, you know, born with that. Like, I have a predisposition to be a worrier. I'm a very anxious person. And, you know, just know that's natural. And in my opinion, a strong mindset and confidence comes with experience, right? And a great way, in my opinion, to become a more confident person is to put yourself in a position where you can. And how I would recommend doing that is through discipline. I know we've said it time and time again, but discipline just trumps motivation, right? And when you know you're disciplined, when you know you, like, similar to the book we're reading right now, Atomic Habits, you know, the mention of the people, you know, that's the book we're doing as a book club for our 60-day tread challenge. We're working through that as a community, which is amazing. But he mentioned how the people that are great at things are the people who can do the boring thing over and over and do great at it and continually do that. And at the end of the day, you go to any person who looks phenomenal in the gym, who's been there grinding, who's hustling, you go to any person who's successful in life, I'll tell you right now, they did a lot of things they didn't want to do. You know, they got up in the morning, they got out to that gym, they said, listen, I'm going to control and maybe I'll say no to dessert here. You know, it's something that comes with time and it comes with repetition. So having that discipline, having that mindset, that is what separates the best from the rest. So I thought that was an awesome quote and I'm really thankful Kyle shared that here. And now, you know, out of this, we're going to go into our thoughts and recommendations. And speaking of mindset, you know, it's just something that came to me. Monday, I had a really, really tough gym day. We're getting close to our peaking. So powerlifting, generally, you start pretty volume intensive. You back off of that volume. You start to lift a little bit heavier, you know, because volume will produce strength and you'll get a little bit heavier. And then you need to acclimate to actually be able to lift in lower rep ranges. You advance forward with that. And then you kind of do the volume in that strength phase, which is interesting. It's called peaking before you actually go ahead and kind of max out or actually do those testing numbers. So this is usually where it breaks people. Like, it's hard. You're pushing basically to the max and you're going to pull away from it for a week. And usually that's what you would do if you're competing in powerlifting. So it can be really tough. So I had 5 sets of 8 squats. I woke up in the morning. I felt like a little tweak in my back. Nothing extreme, but I'm like, oh man. And my legs were tore up and my chest was tore up because on Saturday I had heavy squats and heavy bench, like super heavy. I was benching 315 for 6 sets of 4 or 5 sets of 4, which is just, it's quite a lot. Like, it's a heavy weight to press for, you know, 5 continual sets. Then I had those squats and then I'm like, okay, it's Monday. The way my programming works is here we go again, right? So I started doing it, you know, and it was, five sets of eight for squats, and I got to three, and I'm started thinking, you know, my back's a little bit tweaked. Like, you know, even though I feel good, maybe I'll play it safe. And then I'm thinking, what am I doing? Like, this is not the attitude I want, you know. So I got it done, and then I got to my fifth, and I'm like, maybe four is good enough. And then I thought, to me personally, knowing I skipped that last one is going to bug me 100 more times than the pain of doing that for 45 seconds, getting it done, knowing I'm on track, and knowing I'm on track to hit my PR. So I got that done. And what's cool is momentum carries, right? Because I did that and I persevered through that and I had that personal struggle, I was able to finish the rest of it a lot easier, because I'm like, you know what, I can do this. It's going to be a challenge, it's going to be hard, but you know, I made a promise to myself. I haven't skipped any sets during this entire, you know, block, this 12-week block I've been doing, 13-week block actually in my power building cycle. And I've just felt amazing for it. I'm definitely feel like strength is at an all-time high. I'm definitely ready for some new PRs, but you'll see it's the mindset that connects us, right? Because the second I waver in that, and the second I go, it's okay to skip here. Before you know it, I'm going, okay, I'll skip deadlifts today. And then Tuesday's going to come and I'm going, I'll take a rest day today. And then before you know it, you know, you're just pulling away at the results you could have. Like, you have to set frameworks for yourselves, and you need to know you're on an intelligent routine. And that's the thing too. I'm not just saying you always need to do more. You need to beat yourself into oblivion, because there is a time to listen to your body. But when you're doing effective programming, and I've made this program to be very effective, and I know it's at the exact percentage rates I can handle. I know it's reasonable. I know it's going to push me, but it's not going to break me. And you know, with that, even I felt better. My back felt better after. Like I've said time and time again, like, very often when I'm continually challenging myself, and even when I'm the most sore, like yesterday, I was so sore from Monday, like I played 18 rounds of golf, and I stood up and my back is just like jacked up, and I'm like, and I'm like, not my back, you know, I just felt stiff. My legs, everything was just so sore. And I'm like, I can barely move right now. But then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go for a walk. And so I took my dog out for a walk, you know, got some blood flowing. They say motion is lotion. I felt great. So a lot of the time too, you're going to be the most sore when you're laying and sitting around the most, you know. Very often getting out, getting moving, doing what your body can do, it just, if feels amazing. And I find the more I do, the less sore I feel and the better my body feels. It's quite interesting how it works, because a lot of people think I need to do less, but sometimes more movement is the solution there. And I know this gets finicky of like, you know, what's the appropriate amount, but especially to anyone who's a coaching client, you know, we really push people. They see that soreness within that first 14 days, but then their body acclimates and they get to this new level. They start seeing new muscle, they start seeing development, they start seeing their composition come. So, you know, a lot of this comes with that mindset and that perseverance and that discipline, that consistency, you know, this kind of ropes in all our quotes that we had here. So I just thought that was very, very powerful and something I wanted to share today.
Yeah, that was so well said. And you know, it's kind of funny, because even just like, you know, if you're someone who, you know, is like very like on and off, I know our last podcast we talked about consistency, but you know, I feel like a lot of times people are like, man, I'm always sore, like I can't, you know, I can't deal with all this stuff. But like, you know, I notice that I'm usually the most sore when I like constantly, like if I were to take breaks, for example, you know, like let's say you're like, you know, you squat every 3 weeks, you know, stuff like that. But when you consistently do something and you're just following it like strictly, like yes, you know, there will be a little bit of soreness and stuff, but like for someone who just like, let's say, you know, benches once every couple weeks, or you know, whatever it is, like just consistently do it, consistently show up. And you know, even just like Josh was saying, like, you know, kind of have that non-negotiable of like, yes, like there's a bit of soreness, but like I feel like that's what like dictates, like, you know, no matter what, rain or shine, you get out there for your walk, you know, a little bit of soreness, no soreness, you still get your workout in, you know, just feeling motivated or not feeling motivated, you still get your stuff done, you still eat healthy. And that's really what, you know, just will lead to that consistency like we talked about on the Thursday podcast, which I hope you guys really enjoyed. But that was awesome. You know, as we're reading Atomic Habits, I know, you know, all of our clients are loving it. It's cool to see just everyone posting in the Facebook group. But there was a part that really hit me and kind of like hit home for me, was just the identity change, which once again, we talked a little bit about for consistency. But like, you know, they were saying that when it comes down to it, like, let's say, imagine there's two people resisting a cigarette, you know, one person says, no, thanks, I'm trying to quit. So essentially, they still feel like, you know, they still associate themselves with being a smoker. And then the other person who says, no, thanks, I'm not a smoker, that person doesn't identify as a smoker. So it really is a difference. And you know, I was talking about mindset for my quote, but that really hit home, because especially for those of you who, you know, potentially aren't fully in shape yet, or you're not just like fully bought into the, you know, fitness side of things, or just like kind of have all those like habits built up, the way that you associate yourself is like so impactful. And the other thing, you know, once again when it comes to mindset and stuff, they were saying stuff like, I'm terrible with directions, I'm not a morning person, I'm bad at remembering people's names, I'm always late, I'm not good with technology, I'm horrible at math. Like, you know, just the way that you talk to yourself and the way that you kind of just consistently say things, like, you don't realize, but subconsciously it kind of just like I've heard so many of those things in the past, you know, especially someone who would like always be late, and just like, and I'm just like sitting there, I'm like, really? Like, are you actually just like someone who's like, you know, like just like struggles with time, or are you telling yourself that, right? So just something to think about, especially because I feel like the self-belief and like the self-sabotage and whatnot is like one of the things that really holds a lot of people back. And then when they start to seek success, they're like, oh, I don't deserve this. And they start to kind of try to go the other direction because subconsciously their mind's just kind of pulling games and tricks on them. So I thought that was impactful. You know, a lot of clients have been sharing cool wins, which has been amazing, and like cool little breakthroughs, which has been awesome. So that's the one thing that was on the top of my head from this book.
Absolutely. And you know, one thing to even add on, one other thought I had was I was out playing golf yesterday and a guy watched me, you know, do one of my strokes. Definitely not the greatest golfer out there, so a little bit of a hacker, but I just like being out in the sun. But he mentioned how, you know, I was just putting too much weight on my back foot. I was trying to power it too much. And he's like, you know, start on that front foot, transition through that knee, transfer your weight, and really work on that pivot, you know. And I did that, and I just started connecting. It all started coming together, you know. And then the back end of the 18 holes, I just did way better. I got two pars and one under par, which was really exciting. So it was just nice to see that coming together like so quick. And what it made me remember is that one tip sometimes can change everything for you, right? And especially within fitness, like it's very often I'll give someone one, like my clients, you know, they'll send me a form video and I'll say, hey, let's do this one thing. And like, oh my goodness, like this really just brought it all together. It fixed everything. And like, even sometimes it's gonna be discouraging because you're thinking of 100 other things, but usually it's not that one thing you need to produce change. And it's the same with nutrition. You know, that's why I love walking people through this. And the way we do it is a very one-on-one approach. We're sending videos back and forth. We're analyzing every week. We're optimizing every week, right? Like our goal is to really have you see the best results and the best process as a result of that. And that's our focus here. And it's finding that one thing very often. That one thing can change everything. And that's why, you know, I know it's easy to get discouraged in fitness and nutrition because there's probably 1,000 things you could be doing. And sometimes it's hard to narrow in and find that thing that works. But even I've had clients who, you know, for 6 weeks have struggled a bit and they've tried and they've fallen down, they've gotten up. And then all of a sudden they found that thing that worked, and boom, it clicked. It all comes together and they see crazy results faster than ever. So that's why it's really important you do stay consistent and you have that, you know, optimism, that excitement towards the journey, because very often, you know, you never know, you could find that thing tomorrow that connects everything together.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because you know, it's funny is when we did the book recommendations 2 weeks ago, it was like it kind of made my top 10, but it just wasn't there in my top 8. It was the book The One Thing by I think Peter Drucker, and he just goes on and like, you know, once again, it is tough because a lot of these books are like very repetitive, but like the theme and the kind of takeaway message can be so impactful and life-changing. And it was just like, what's the one thing that can make the biggest difference? What's the one thing that I'm going to do today that's going to make the biggest difference? And I thought that was so impactful that Josh brought that up. I think there was a quote that said, what's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? And I think a lot of times relating to this to the journey, a lot of people are trying to find like the 7 things or like, you know, the 10 things because it sounds cooler. You know, it sounds cooler to go into work and just be like, hey, I'm doing this. It's like, oh, wow, like you're a beast. Whereas the one person who says, I just started keeping track of my macros and I'm eating a little bit healthier and making better decisions. It's like, that's what's going to make the biggest difference. That's going to be the one thing, right? So really something to think about. You know, it's cool how you can apply that to literally any sport, anything you do in your life, any relationship, whatever. And, you know, yeah, let's really start looking for that one thing I think will make a big difference. So that was very well said.
Awesome. Who do we got for the client shout out this week?
Yeah. So we got Elvia, and she is, oh my gosh, it's just an incredible body recomp transformation. She's out on vacation, which is really, really cool. And she posted, I think it was her last year photo versus her photo now, basically. And she had shared in the Facebook group. And the reason I'm sharing this is because it was a really good take home message, what she had mentioned. She said, working with Coach Kyle has been the best. I've fallen in love with the process from every step back to every win. I'm learning so much. So glad I've decided to invest in myself. And then she shared basically that, like, when she had, beforehand, when she began, she was doing like group classes, you know, 6 days a week with like no direction or results. And then now, and once again, we started to focus on like the essentials, the fundamentals. She, you know, just has just fully transformed. Like you can see her photo just from, you know, now versus like before when she had gone on vacation. And, you know, like even she said, she's still enjoying life and, you know, just all that other stuff. And I thought that was like really, really cool. Like some of her biggest tips were, you know, having a coach, being patient, you know, still having fun, but also like keeping to your priorities and then also meal prepping. So yeah, I thought that was incredible. Shout out to you, Elvia. I know you're listening to this, but honestly, I just feel like it's truly possible for anyone. And even just a lot of people who, you know, have those beliefs like, oh man, like really, like, you know, can I actually do this? But when you see, like, just, you know, it's really like not rocket science. You know, you just stay consistent with everything, you do the right things day to day. And I'm just so proud, because it's just going to keep getting better and better. We've gone through some reverse diets, we've gone through some diet breaks, we've gone through some fat loss, some muscle gain phases, and it's just going to keep getting better and better for you know, for the two of us, but mainly her. So really good stuff, Alvia. So proud of you.
Awesome. You know, shout out Alvia there for sure. And, you know, even that one thing, you know, sometimes it can be changing your entire style of workouts, right? You know, and going to something that's more impactful. Like, you know, group workouts, even a lot of people ask me, you know, what are your thoughts on them? And I think they're great. I think they're fun. I think they're a good community. And I think they're a good start, you know, to get you moving, to get you in a habit, to get you showing up, to, you know, maybe have accountability from other people. But what they lack is the customization, the, you know, individual component, right? Because it's, you, when you have to make something for everyone, it's not going to be made for you. You know, it's similar to if I just gave you a t-shirt, if I'm like, here's your t-shirt, there's a chance it can fit perfect and it could be the best t-shirt ever, but there's a much higher chance it's not your size, right? Like, wow. A really good chance it's not going to fit there. And that's where things can be tough, right? And when you do that, you're not going to see the best results, not going to be the most impactful to your physique. And a lot of the time it can just result in you burning calories but not seeing change. So that's where I really do recommend it, you know, recommend specific strength training. I think they can be a great add-on. You do them as some optional days. You can do them as cardios. They can be a lot of fun for that. But that is one thing I do want to keep in mind. So if you are looking to get one-on-one fitness coaching, if you're looking to have your nutrition optimized, and like I said, really define the thing that works for you so you can enjoy your favorite foods, still see results, and learn not just, you know, how to do it yourself for the rest of your life, definitely reach out, because we are bringing back the summer special. You know, we're pretty much in summer now, and don't worry, it's not too late for you to get in shape. You know, we might have played a little bit of catch up, but you know, the best time to start was yesterday. The next best time is today. So don't miss out on that. If you are looking to get started with online fitness coaching and you want to make that leap, you want to level up in your life and in your journey, go ahead and message us Summer Shred to our Instagram at ColossusFit, ColossusFit. Also, be sure to check out our Instagram, because we're doing weekly giveaways where we're giving away gift cards for free just as a thank you, because we have such amazing, you know, community members. So definitely go ahead. You don't want to miss out anything there. But without further ado, we're going to jump into this week's questions. And the first question out of the mailbag is, I've always wanted to journal, but I struggle with knowing where to start or what to write. Do you have any tips for me?
Yeah, so this is a question that's been asked quite often, because you guys obviously know we kind of, you know, mention that as like, you know, some of our top daily habits just for, you know, everything, just overall success, you know, happiness, just kind of getting things written down, right? So it doesn't have to be this like daunting thing. I think sometimes when people think of journaling, it's like, you know, I got to write this 20-page report, or, you know, just like, you know, just they're just confused, right? So basically for me personally, what I do, I don't do it daily. Truthfully, I do it probably about 5 times a week. And the way that I've always done it is I personally write on pen and paper. My writing is horrible. No one can read it at all. Funny enough, one of my buddies was reading it before, and he thought it was just like a journal left at an Airbnb, and he was like making fun of the writing. And I'm like, hey, bro, that's mine. But no, so basically I start with just like a brain dump. You know, we've heard this a bunch of different times. It's called a brain drain or a brain dump. Basically, just anything on the top of your head. I think it was probably Josh that introduced this to me, and I was like, man, that's really powerful. You know, when you wake up, there's a million different things on the top of your head. Just get that down. You know, send these messages, write this, you know, create this routine, you know, make coffee, like whatever it is that just you need to get out there. And then that helps me actually formulate my to-do list for the day of the things that I needed to get done, which is super awesome. You know, next up, I'll just write down about 5 or 6 goals. And these aren't goals like I made the mistake of doing goals that were like just monthly, but I write down monthly goals as well as some goals that are longer term, because that motivates me a little bit more and pushes me, you know, having that bigger picture versus the ones that are just in front. It's good to have a good combination. And then I'll do 3 things I'm grateful for, which is, as we always say, gratitude is super underrated and one of the greatest things ever. And once you start to get in that, just like that gratitude mindset, it allows you to just start to feel just more, you know, just grateful for the things around you, and just kind of sets your day up for success no matter what happens. I'm like, wow, but I have this going on. And then just 3 things I'm looking forward to within the week. Usually it's usually within the week, just whether it's a workout, whether it's, you know, just my client check-ins that I'm pumped for, whether it's, you know, going for a round of golf with my buddies, like, you know, whatever it is, I just write those. And, you know, for a lot of people, even if there's not anything like outstanding, just, you know, put some small things down. It'll make you look forward to those little kind of more mundane tasks that, you know, you potentially would kind of look down on, but you're like, hey, you know, I get to work out, like, let's go. I'm so pumped for it. And you can really change your mindset there. So that's kind of how I do it. That's what works best for me. And, you know, I'm sure Josh has some other tips as well.
Yeah, I personally just start with a brain drain myself. So, you know, for me, I have like literally a million things on my mind all the time. And just writing down silly things like, oh, the sun is beautiful today, or, you know, it's not the best day, but I'm going to find a way to still get myself fired up, or to think through some of the things I want to get going, or even you can write like a to-do list of the day. That's one thing I inadvertently do as part of my brain drain. Like, I have a separate document where I do a, you know, a daily task of things I just like to do every day. And then another list of things that are specific to that day that I need to get done. But, you know, kind of starting to, you know, pop that all down, you know, get that all out of your mind, get that on paper is just immensely valuable. So that is a great place to start. And then just your random thoughts, getting that down there as well. Then I always like to write down my three biggest goals of the month, three things I want to achieve. Then I'll do three things I'm grateful for. And then I always end it with, today is going to be a great day. You know, simply writing that, just it starts to make you believe it, and putting that on paper is just, it's so motivating. And I do it every single day, and every day does find a way to be a great day. So that's something I've done consistently. And a lot of people probably listening, like, that's cool. Like, I wish I had 45 minutes to do that, but it really does take me maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes. The reason I've been able to do it consistently is some days where I only want to write two sentences, I only write two sentences. If I want to write three pages, I'll do three pages. And being flexible with myself, I think, is being the factor that's allowed me to stay consistent and to continually do this. Because, you know, very often when you do something that's too much, it just doesn't work. I was listening to this one book on personal finance, and he was mentioning how, you know, similar to finances, like fitness, because he had a friend who wanted to start working out, and they wanted to go from zero workouts to 5 days a week. And they wanted to go from, you know, eating everything they wanted to eating nothing good, only healthy foods. And he said, like clockwork, that person fell off over 3 weeks and gave up, despite everyone's, you know, wishes to say, hey, just start with 2 or 3 times a week, you know, start making gradual changes. And, you know, it's the same attitude, right? Like, you can't go from never journaling to forcing yourself to journal for an hour a day. You'll lose your mind and you're going to resent it. So just start, same with meditation. You know, I love that one meditation person who said, you know, the best way to start meditating even is just one intentional breath a day. If you right now take a big breath in, and, you know, and a big breath out, I'll save you from blowing out your eardrums with me blowing into the mic. But, you know, just doing one intentional breath, you've made a point of being intentional and doing a meditation-like practice, and that can be immensely valuable. So it's the same component I find very often. That's a great way to start. It is good to scale, too, with some things that, you know, you need to, like, fitness obviously is a game of, you know, increasing volume and increasing intensity. But something like journaling and well-being, I find, also being understanding with yourself, and it's just a really, really powerful thing for certain. So that was an awesome question. Those are my biggest tips, or many different ways to go about it. I've also heard a great way to kind of do it. I forget, one CEO really likes doodling, and they do a lot of doodling, or not CEO, an ex-president. I can't remember which one it was. I'd like to say Kennedy, maybe Reagan. It's definitely one of those two. But apparently they used to doodle a lot, like during thoughts and meetings. You know, they just would put it all on paper and doodle and kind of, you know, actually do an abstract version of their thoughts, and it really helped them, and it was just really powerful. So, you know, that's another way you can do it too, if you're a more creative visual person. You know, that's, it's a way of journaling in and of itself too. So it's just having that reflection, having that time with yourself, and journaling through things is something I recommend a lot. You know, like, clients say, hey, I don't know why I always self-sabotage. I get to this weight, I do really well, and then for some reason I just can't. I go the wrong way and things don't start to work. And I'm like, well, let's analyze, like, what's the trigger for that? What do you think you could do different to circumvent that problem? Do you have some self-doubt that you're going to be able to go past this point? Or is this the point you've done, so it's what you're comfortable with, and it's scary for you to go through that next thing? Like, these are big questions. Sometimes writing them out and exploring them on paper is really, really valuable.
Yeah. Anytime, like, I even have like a big decision to make, or just something that I can't figure it out in my head, like, no matter what I do, I just put it all right down on paper. I'll write down usually pros, cons, or, you know, just any concerns that I have. And I know a lot of people that do this, like, you know, similar to what Josh was saying, just being with your thoughts and just being aware is like one of the biggest things. And some people will do that like through going for a walk. Some people will do it through just like meditation, or, you know, whatever it is. But I find another very useful thing is just to get it all down on a paper, you know, whether just even like, I know a lot of like high producers will, at the end of the night, they'll just actually like journal on their day. Like, where could I have improved? You know, what was a great success? Like, they'll have like a nighttime journal. And the cool thing about that is, I personally don't do it at the moment, but I would like to, is just that you can look back on just like when things were working, like, you know, just there's nothing better than being able to look back on your journals, like seeing the growth that's taking place. And like Josh even said, like, if you're struggling with something, instead of just like thinking about it for a second, just, hey, let's write it down, because you'll definitely be able to work it out a lot better on paper. So yeah, that was very well said. And I'm glad this question was asked.
Absolutely. Now for our next question is, I can't seem to get rid of that stubborn fat in my underarm area. Whenever I hang up my arms, I just see it hanging down and jiggling, and I'm worried it's only going to get worse. What, if any, exercises can I do to help me with that? I've tried everything, and I've done a lot of bicep curls, but to no avail.
Yeah, so that's obviously a very good question, and you know, just it's a very common one, right? It's kind of similar to, you know, hey, like my you know, my stomach fat's just still there, no matter how many ab exercises or no matter how good my nutrition is, you know, it's just not going away. But the biggest thing is that, you know, just over and over again we get asked these, and you really can't like spot reduce body fat. I know a lot of people will just be like, okay, well, I need to do, you know, arms, like Josh said, you know, bicep curls and just, you know, all that other stuff to try to get rid of it, but the biggest thing is that the area that you are really looking to change, especially, you know, especially when you focus on it more, you know, for a lot of people, it's stomach, you know, for some people, it's like the lower back fat. And then here for this current scenario, it's the underarm area, you know, kind of near where the triceps are and stuff like that. Is you're just going to notice it more and more and more. And that's going to be usually the place that it does come off last, you know? So with that being said, it's just more so kind of getting to that point where it's just like, okay, you know, what body weight will that be is going to be different for each person. But even for myself, I always relate back to this when I, you know, really wanted to see my abs and I was trying. And I got to a certain point where I was like, holy, is it ever going to happen? And then boom, it's just like, you know, finally I got to the point where it's like, okay, there they are, right? So you just got to keep going. You just got to keep staying consistent. Like that last podcast, you know, just keep doing the right stuff, being in that deficit, you know, but I will say there definitely are some exercises. I wouldn't say that will necessarily, you know, just exactly get rid of the fat in that area. Like you have to be in a calorie deficit. You have to be, you know, losing fat and just doing that for a prolonged amount of time and staying patient. But, you know, I will say, you know, definitely doing some extra tricep work will over time, you know, at least like strengthen it. It'll kind of just make them, you know, just gain a little bit more muscle. Therefore, like they'll actually start to like definitely look better. Once again, over time, you're not going to do a couple tricep pushdowns, but I will say if there was anything that would definitely be beneficial, it would be anything tricep related, you know, skull crushers, overhead extensions, tricep pushdowns. But with that being said, it's like abs. You're not going to start to do Russian twists and be like, oh my gosh, I got abs, but it'll definitely make them kind of more firm, you know, just and, you know, look better over time. So you can definitely add those types of things in for sure.
Yeah. Like common area here too. Like it's like, you know, in particular, women will tend to work their arms less often than men. You know, men, you just bring guys never worked out in the gym. He's going to start doing curls. It's just like a natural calling. Like it's something in our genetic code or something. But you know, very often that's where a lot of people go wrong is they'll never train their arms at all. They won't have any muscle or any strength in their arms. And you know, I've even trained people in the past where 5 pounds has just been too heavy and we've had to use 2.5s or ones. And you know, very often if that's you, you can get loose skin, right? And as you age, you're going to see more loose skin hang down. And the best way to circumvent that is to actually improve the amount of muscularity you have in your body. You know, Arnold says if it jiggles, it's fat. And, you know, when you have lean toned muscle and you change your composition, you'll actually see less of that. And you'll see a tighter, nicer, more curved kind of strong muscle, right? And where people get confused, they're like, well, I don't want massive jacked arms. But you don't really have to worry about that. Like, you know, if that was the case, you know, every person ever who lifted would look like that. Like very often you can train and be totally fine. So, you know, it really is important you do in particular start doing some tricep work. You know, even I think you could argue, you know, rows and amongst other things are enough bicep volume for someone who doesn't care to have biceps as a woman. Like you're going to get it there as a secondary movement, but also a lot of women tend to do less pushing in general, where you would get a lot of secondary you know, use from your triceps. So you're still not working that as much. So some dedicated work is great. Example of this are assisted dips. You know, that's a big favorite of mine. Dumbbell skull crushers are a great one to work in. Rope pushdowns, you know, just start with that and you will see a lot of visual change on top of everything Kyle added there.
Awesome, dude. Yeah, great tips there. And then we got one more amazing
last
question.
Last but not least, and the big one, we get asked this all the time, what are your thoughts on CrossFit? Came across Mal O'Brien, a CrossFit champion, and was completely blown away with the style of exercises they do. Just curious how you as trainers feel about it. What do you got, Kyle?
Yeah, so that's a great question. First of all, anyone who's in the gym, anyone who's pushing themselves and have that, you know, that mindset of self-growth, you know, just challenging themselves, whatever it is, ultimate respect for you. Whether you're a power lifter, a power builder, you know, you like CrossFit, you know, you're into cardio, I've got respect for you. You're pushing yourself and you're, you know, building a healthy lifestyle. So with that being said, you know, I actually a few years ago watched the CrossFit games and, you know, Josh will always remember and make fun of me for it. You know, I'm just throw a couple of chirps my way. It's funny because I was like, man, I'm into CrossFit. I'm going to be like Matthew Fraser. Like I have ultimate respect for that guy just seeing what he did. And what I really like about it, first of all, is just how you're just not one dimensional. That's going to be my first thing, is just that there are a bunch of different levels to it. You know, you've got to be you've got to have great cardio. You've got to have solid endurance. You have to be able to be strong. Like, there's so many different things. So I will say I really did like that. And it was very inspiring to see someone go for a 7 mile run and then start to clean, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds. My only issue and my biggest issue with it, first of all, like Josh was saying, the whole boot camp style stuff, you know, just like all that things, you know, I was a boot camp instructor before. Like, it's not going to be fully created for you a lot of the times. Now, if there's, you know, five different instructors who like will customize it based off of your situation and say, you know what, this one's not working for you, let's switch it up. But, you know, my biggest thing is that, you know, especially with all those fail videos and all those other things that I've seen, is just that, you know, other styles of lifting, it's like, hey, let's get this weight up, let's keep your back safe, let's keep everything tight, let's do all this other stuff. And CrossFit's the one thing that I've seen where a lot of it just people don't really care. It's more so, okay, how are you going to get the weight up there, whether you know, hurt your back or not. And once again, you know, I'm not someone who's necessarily done it. I haven't been, you know, going to those classes and everything, and every class is going to be so different, and every, you know, trainer is going to be different within that. But once again, what I've seen a lot is just that that's kind of the mindset that has been taking place for years and years and years. And there's been hundreds of videos, thousands of videos posted on that, just, you know, kind of with someone pulling the weight up and just everyone's cheering them on, but they're about to go to Snap City. So that's something to take into consideration. So once again, you know, great benefits, awesome, you know, if you enjoy it. I know a lot of people as well like the group style. It's, you know, social, it's fun, it's motivating, and, you know, they might get like better workouts than if they were by themselves. But there are a couple things to consider, and that's my biggest thing, is just how, you know, a lot of people just don't really care. It's more so just kind of like, okay, you get the weight up and that's all that really matters. And, you know, you can get injured. That's why you hear a lot of injuries taking place with it. So that's kind of where I'm at. But, you know, if you like it, then keep doing it, and that's awesome for you.
Yeah, I agree. It's the same thing. It's a class mentality. A lot of people meme it because, you know, you're doing pretty advanced movements. Like, you're doing a lot of Ollie lifts, you're doing some heavy deadlifts, like, you know, things that can mess you up, especially when you don't do it right. And most often when you see videos, like, most everyone just has different leverages, and some people it's just really hard to get them deadlifting right. And, you know, that's where people can end up hurting themselves pretty hard. And I'm all for hoorah, let's push it, let's get it. But especially when you're going through things in a circuit style and you're going through them quick, that's where you should have that base of form more than ever. Because you don't have as much time to set up, you need to be prepared, and, you know, having bad habits can be quite detrimental, right? Like, if you herniate a disc or something, that is going to mess you up for a long time. And, you know, I know everyone says, oh, these are just extreme examples, those are just the bad places, and that's it too. Like, I believe there are places where they make sure everyone's form is exactly perfect before they get into some of these harder things, and they'll call someone out to stop if it's bad. Like, you know, if you're going to a place like that, at least that's a good place. But in general, like, I think it's a fun way of packaging, like, you know, a great thing for athletes. I think on a really high end, it's really cool, and I love seeing them compete. But, you know, as a package for like the everyday mom who's just trying to go out and work out, like, personally, it's not my favorite, if I'm being honest with you. But, you know, that's kind of the reason why. I think it can be totally fun, like I said, but I would really recommend, you know, getting that foundation first and really learning kind of, you know, how to do things. And if you want to push it and you enjoy kind of that hybrid of, you know, cardio and strength, I think that could be totally awesome. And on a high level, I really do respect it.
Yeah. You know, and one thing that I want to, you know, pick, you know, just as a kind of like, I guess a little complaint, is just seeing like, you know, like the 1 to 30 classes, for example, you know, one coach, 30 people, there's the person in the back who just isn't getting that attention and nobody knows what's going on there. And they're, you know, a bit confused. But, you know, if there's the ones where they're, like I said, you know, there's five coaches there and there's, you know, five coaches to three people, or like whatever kind of makes the most sense. But as long as everyone's getting the attention there. But, you know, as a coach, cause I know the person had said, like, curious as trainers, how you feel about it. Like, I love being able to take a look at someone's physique, taking a look at their lifestyle, you know, hey, how many years have you been working out? You know, like, where do we need to improve the changes, you know, on your body that you're striving for? What do we need to bring up? You know, let's say, okay, we're going to do some more glute work. Like, as a coach, we love being able to do that, our entire coaching team. And that's what's ultimately going to lead to the best results possible. So, you know, that's why we kind of like would rather just structure something based off of like someone's current, like even just Josh was saying, their leverages, that's going to be so different. But then, you know, whereas you get everyone with the exact, you know, everyone with different leverages, and then they're just doing the exact same stuff with the exact same intensity, with the exact same like everything, it gets a bit tough, right? So just be careful of it. But if you enjoy it, once again, yeah, hopefully we answered that, and you know, just gave you some insight today on that question.
Yeah, so thank you everyone for tuning in. It really does mean a lot. If you want to help me and Kyle out, if you could leave a review for us on Spotify and or iTunes, really does mean the world. You know, especially if you can give us a 5-star review, and if you think there's anything we can improve on, you know, we're always open in our DMs and we love to hear. We're not perfect podcasters. podcasters, but we strive to be. We're always trying to make the show, you know, the best it can be, the most informative, and most importantly, the most impactful, because at the end of the day, we want to make sure we're not just talking to you or just about whatever. Like, we want this to be, we call it infotainment, right? So we want it to be informational as well as entertaining as a package, but we do really want to change your life and be a mechanism and a catalyst for you to be fitter, healthier, and happier. So if we do that in any way, please go ahead and, you know, just drop us that 5-star review on iTunes and Spotify. I know you might think, oh, I'm just one person, I'll let other people do it, but, you know, you're that one person that helps do that. And if that one person, 100 of you do that, you know, that's quite a big difference in us and our lives, and it gives us ability to grow and scale this podcast. You know, we do some new big plans for the end of the year, going into the new year. You know, we'd like to start doing filmed episodes, live episodes, maybe on another episode, you know, make the formats, you know, renewed. Like, we're always trying to level up, so this is a great way to help us do that. You know, otherwise, if you want to reach out for the summer shred, DM us on Instagram. You know, we really look forward to helping some of you out with that. Otherwise, go ahead and tackle this week, crush it. We'll see you in the next one.